seara! Bun venit la Rezistența 360, ediția cu numărul 84. Și în seara asta va fi o ediție un pic mai specială, pentru că invitatul nostru este Luis Finfer. Hello, nice to meet you!
Bună seara!
Și emisiunea va, după ce îl vei prezenta pe Lu, emisiunea va continua în limba engleză. Așa încât o să profit ca primul lucru pe care îl răspund este că dacă printre cei care ne priviți acum există cineva care dorește să voluntarizeze din timpul său și să ne ajute cu traducerea, am apreciat foarte tare să ne lasă un coment la video. Lu Finfer este activist și organizator comunitar și director executiv al MCAN, Massachusetts Communities Action Network din Boston, despre care o să ne vorbească puțin mai încolo și o să ne explice și ce înseamnă conceptul ăsta de organizare comunitară. Dânsul a dus la bun sfârșit mai multe campanii pentru diferite organizații americane care luptă pentru justiție economică și rasială. A avut recent o campanie prin care salariul minim din statul american, Massachusetts, a crescut și campania a avut un impact asupra mai mult de jumătate de milion de oameni. Experiența sa se apropie de jumătate de secol și în perioada asta se află în România pentru a se întâlni cu mai multe grupuri civice, pentru a împărtăși din experiența sa. Și de acum încolo o să începem dialogul în limba engleză. Sorry for this short Romanian break. I wanted to properly introduce you to our viewers. So I will start with the first question. It's a very broad one. What is community organizing?
Well, thank you, Rezistenta, for inviting me to speak with you. And
it's an honor to have you here.
And I'm glad I was hosted by, if I can pronounce it, Associata Pentru Relatel Comunitare, the ARC.
Asociația pentru Relații Comunitare.
The ARC organization.
Da. Este organizația care l-a invitat pe Lu Finfer aici pentru aceste...
Which is a very important organization in civic society in Romania. Community organizing really means putting together people in an organization so they can have power that through a large scale involvement that they couldn't have if they stay separate as individuals. And the practice goes back to, it started in the 1930s in America. A lot of labor unions were organized in America in the 1930s. And there was the thought to also organize groups that stood up for people where they lived in their communities, parallel to the unions which stood up for people where they worked. But it really comes down to having an organization whose mission is to listen to people about their concerns, form an agenda about the concerns they have about issues that affect their lives, whether it's inadequate housing, low wages, not good health care, inadequate education, whatever the issues people bring up, to form an organization and to develop proposals that would change the story of those problems, and then take action, which usually involves being able to mobilize people to act together in large meetings, demonstrations, large petition campaigns, and pressuring either political leaders or corporation leaders to do the right thing and engage with them about these issues.
So it's, well, sort of like a friend, like a bigger friend who can help people with, like, give them the necessary support so they can get more power. Like some of the issues that you are discussing, like the issues that community organizing can address, they're very present in Romanian society as well. For example, like what you were talking about, poor healthcare, and that is a very, very big problem here, mm-hmm. for many reasons.
Yes.
And how could people address this? Well, you come with your expertise from the United States. Do you think you can sort of import it into Europe or into like Eastern Europe, how in a country like Romania?
Oh, yes and no. I mean, no, because you have to pay attention to your own politics and your own history and culture about what works here. But there are some aspects of community organizing that have more, I think, more universal principles. There actually is community organizing efforts going on in the UK, in Germany, in Hungary, and there's a group, CERA, in Romania that's usually using these principles. And we also have affiliates in El Salvador, Haiti, and Rwanda. So it's used in a lot of different cultural and political situations. But again, it has to be shaped to the culture and history and politics of its own place. But some of the general principles about finding ways to listen to people and people to have their voice to say what are they deeply hurt and worried about is part of it. How do you do that in an organized, we call it listening, but how do you do that in an organized way that you can listen to thousands of people and their concerns? And then how do you put to an agenda for action that would change the stories that people told that had their pain? And then how do you how do you identify who are the powerful people who could make decisions that would lead to different, better stories for people? And how do you engage them? Is it them asking them to meet? Is it holding demonstrations? Is it organizing petitions? Is it issuing reports? Doing press events? Is it pressuring people you know to pressure people they know? It may be all of those things. Basically, you're trying to engage the powerful, and you have to be persistent to do that because they would prefer things to just stay the same because that's good for them.
Yeah. Do you need people to feel the need to be organized? I mean, do the people come to you for asking for support or expertise, or do you go towards do you look for like vulnerable, disadvantaged communities and go there?
It's both. People contact you with the if they know about the organization and what they might have done, they might call up and say, how do I get involved in that campaign? Or I heard you worked on raising the minimum wage. What about this problem in healthcare? But then we're intentional too, to go and talk to people in communities that we work in. We try to have, when we do it right, we don't always do it right, we try to have annual, we call them listening campaigns, where we would hold listening, if it's with working with churches, we would hold listening meetings after church services for people to sit in small groups and talk about what they're concerned about. Groups would also go out and meet with people one-to-one, sometimes knocking on their door where they live, sometimes through associations they have setting up meetings with them. And it's all trying to give voice, allow people to have voice, and voice, we call it sometimes voice for the voiceless, so that they can talk about their concerns. So it's intentional where we do listening, but also we will get calls, and then you decide whether it's doable to take up some issue you hadn't heard about.
Yeah, because I was thinking think about finding a solution to a communal problem, you need to be aware that you could be that solution, know your rights, and also have this vision of the world where you can ask for your rights. And sometimes I'm referring here to Romania because people still remember living in a very centralized system where you are told what to do.
Yes.
It's sometimes hard for them to initiate a dialogue, especially since the authorities didn't do a lot to open this. So people sometimes don't think that they could be part of the solution to the problem. So.
So you're listening to people and you're asking them to tell their stories. We would ask the question, what are you really upset about? What keeps you up at night? What are you really worried about for yourself and your family? And if they're not sure what you mean, or they don't trust you initially, you would give them an example of how you would answer that question about what am I upset about and what do I worry for by myself and family. And then I might ask you again, how do you look at that question? And they might understand what you're asking more after you've given them an example from your experience. And they might trust you because you've shared the pain and worries you have, and then you're asking them to share that. And I find people don't get listened to enough. People don't get asked what they feel enough. So people, you might think, oh, people won't talk, or people will be suspicious, or whatever. I find people mostly would like to say how they're feeling, and it's almost because they're not asked enough about how they're feeling and what they worry about. And sometimes even in modern society, people don't have as many of their relatives who live close to them, so they don't have as much support as they did growing up or a generation ago where there was more family around. There's, you know, people still have that, but not as much as they used to.
Yeah. Do you feel like when you're involved in such campaigns, do you like raise a very high level of hope for the people? Like sometimes they, could people like feel really disappointed if the campaign is not successful?
It can be. Like we had twice we've had campaigns that raise the minimum wage in our state from $8 to $11 an hour in 2014, and from $11 to $15 an hour last year. And that helped maybe a million low-wage workers get higher salaries. So it was very exciting. And we found a mechanism because our legislature, our parliament, has two houses like your parliament.
Yeah.
And we have an executive. Anyone, the head of your Senate or deputies mm-hmm. or the prime minister in our system, one of them could block something from happening. It doesn't even have to be all three, just be one could prevent something from happening. So we found a way that we were able, if we collected enough, we had to collect 150,000 signatures of voters, but then we were able to get the proposal put on the ballot, as it's called a referendum, where people got to directly vote on it. And that way we were able to get something big passed. But sometimes we had another proposal last year to raise taxes on millionaires, and it would have raised $2 billion for U.S. dollars for education and transportation. But in the last months, the big corporation leaders took it to court. And on a technicality, the court ruled in their favor, and it wasn't voted on. So we had to, that was very disappointing. Probably the most disappointing thing I've experienced in, you know, on a local issue in 50 years, because it would have been $2 billion for all these things. But we found another way to start the campaign that would be legal, even despite the court decision. So we just started it again, and it'll take 4 years to pass, but we're trying to not give up, be persistent. Sometimes the metaphor, I don't know if you have a dog who's biting the pants and won't let go. Sometimes the person is the powerful person. We want to be that dog who bites and won't let go, and they kick you, but we won't let go. We want to be persistent to get things done that people need.
Yeah. I was asking you this question about this burden of hope, because I'm thinking this is one of the traits of like Romanian society. Feeling really hope, putting all their hopes into something, and when that something doesn't succeed instantly, they'd feel really, really disappointed really soon. So this idea of persisting, of like being the dog who bites the trousers for years and years is very important.
But it's also, people have reason to be sad, because you had how many years of people have demonstrated here against corruption? And it's still going on, and the powers that be are resisting and trying to get around it. And, you know, when we read in America that you're trying to pass a law to say if you stole $60,000, no problem. It's pretty we use the word brazen.
Yeah.
That powers can be that, feel they can just, but in a sense, people aren't giving up. Sometimes someone once said, there's lots of reasons not to be optimistic, but we always have to be hopeful that, because you also can see there are changes. I know I've heard stories about how people did campaigns that got city halls and different cities here in Romania, and ministries to respond and do things that they didn't want to do, but because people had a campaign and they put it out there and they organized people and they didn't give up after they were first opposed. So there are also lots of examples. But those have to be told to people because people, why they don't know about all those stories. The community groups and the media need to tell the stories of when people have accomplished something by working together, because that can help people feel, even if we're not successful now or it's taking too long, at least some things have sometimes changed for the better.
Yeah. So could you, apart from this this very big campaign with about the minimum wages,
yes,
can you give us some other examples?
Campaigns.
Best practice campaigns.
Well, we have in our country, we have one of the highest imprisonment rates in the world. And a lot of it is connected to discrimination against what people would call in our country people of color, people who are of African American descent and Latino descent, that there's a very high incarceration rate for small things. And disproportionate numbers of people of those backgrounds who are in prison. And then people can lose their right to vote if they've been in prison. They have to pay fines and fees even when they get out the prison. They're restricted on jobs because the employer has the right to look at their prison record for many years. And a lot of employers would say, I'm not going to hire anyone who's ever been in prison. So it becomes a vicious circle. You can't get a job or you can only get the lowest paid mm-hmm. job. So we did a campaign of legislation to try to change that. And it took 5 years of work to get it passed. But the final bill, it ended a lot of these fines and fees. It lowered the number of years that employers could look at people's records so they would have more chance for jobs. It made some automatic sentences to not be automatic. And it also, we have a big, you may have it here, we have what's called the opioid crisis, a big drug crisis. Mm-hmm. And in the United States last year, more people died in 1 year than died in the whole Vietnam War. So we part of the work was to get more people to what we call diverted to treatment instead of putting when they possess drugs or they sell a tiny amount of drugs to support their drug habit, to try to get them put it to treatment and mm-hmm. not just put them in prison, which will just so we did, but we had to organize tens of thousands of petitions. We had
but
to
these
go
are really like sensible issues for society. I imagine that you always get answers from my people who say, yes, but this is needed to protect our families or our communities, like people should stay more in prison or people that using drugs are a bad influence or youngsters.
Right.
How do you face these kinds of challenges? How do you explain to people?
Sometimes people know people in their own communities. Sometimes people know that some of the sentences are excessive. We did something that was very helpful. One of the policy groups did a map showing where people lived who came out of prison, like where their homes were. And there was a dot for each one who had been in prison at some point over the years. And there were so many dots, it made people feel, wow, this is such a big problem. And all those are like hurt houses because they're one of their parents was in prison for some period, and they're almost eternally going to have lower wage jobs. So there were so many dots on the map, it made people think about it differently, because usually people think about the prison is over there and the people in prison are over there. But then when you looked at the map where they came from or where they came back to, it made it more in people's faces to consider how we do this. And and there are lessons in religious life. There's a concept of redemption and second chances, and in biblical teaching. So there's also sometimes you lift that up. And also because if people don't have a chance when they get out of prison, they may commit a new crime and then they're back again, mm-hmm. So like that doesn't make people more safe, even though everybody's responsible for what they do. But there are also small issues in community organizing. It can be there's a dangerous traffic intersection and it needs a traffic light put up, or there can be or there's one house that's abandoned and dangerous and you need to get it torn down or repaired. So some issues can be smaller, but they're still important to some people in one area, and some issues could be across the whole country. And community groups that are successful can work on issues of different sizes, because people have different things that affect them. And the more things you get done, it builds people's confidence for the things that are harder to accomplish.
Yeah, I was thinking about this because, well, I think it's easier for people to relate and understand these small campaigns. I was thinking about like our viewers, if they could make it clear that this like community organizing isn't primarily about like huge,
yes,
nationwide, right, or international campaigns.
Right.
It also can address like smaller things. And your examples are really good, like with a house that can be a potential danger, or we do have a lots of roads that aren't properly signaled, so that,
right,
we have many.
And I heard that there are houses falling down; they're in danger of falling down.
Yeah.
So there are those issues that are still important, but smaller. But some ways the questions are the same. What do you, for your viewers, what are you worrying about in terms of your work life, how you're, mm-hmm, treated in your work, or your pay, or your security, or lack of security in your job, or is your children getting the kind of education you think they should get? Are they treated fairly there? Do you have adequate health care access if you have health care problems? Any of those kinds of things. If you need more training to be able to get a better job, is there any way to get that or to afford that? So any of those things that you worry about, or the people you deeply care about in your family and friends, can become issues that community organizations using community organizing approaches can take up and try to do something about.
Yeah. Well, politicians have this tendency of using those things that they know that people care about,
mm-hmm,
or even like when they are in campaigns, listening to people's problems on these issues and then promising that they will,
yes,
fix it, like healthcare or education and so on. Is this a problem, like when you're trying to organize a community to try to figure out a solution for a problem, to kind of like shift this idea that, oh, this is something like the politicians should be doing and not myself?
It is their job in some cases, the politicians, if they're in charge of budgets and laws, or in some cases it's their job, if it could be a corporation's job, they could choose to act more responsibly about health and safety and other impacts, or sometimes it's the government or politician's job to quote unquote make the corporations act according to the law.
Mm-hmm.
But we call it, sometimes we call it what the work of community organizations sometimes is, accountability, that we're trying to make politicians accountable for enforcing the laws, keeping their promises and commitments. But you often need to do campaigns to do that, because promises are made and then they kind of get lost or forgotten or pushed aside. So that's what your part of the job of community organizations is to be persistent, to say what happened, you know, there was a promise made in the election or a promise made to a group that you would do a different policy or fund this program, and it's not happening. So what are you going to do?
We're coming. We're in charge of the follow-up.
Yes, it's all about follow-up. A lot of times it's in follow-up. You have to be satisfied or feel good when you got a commitment, but you also feel, unless we follow up, it may not be realized.
Yeah, you've been doing this for over 49 years. So next year you'll have a very wrong anniversary.
Yes.
coming about. Well, since you have such a long expertise doing this, can you kind of like explain it into sort of like five basic steps that such a process should follow, mm-hmm, so it's easier for mm-hmm us to understand? How do you start? What's step one?
Step one is to have an organized listening campaign. And listening can mean the listening to the existing members and participants and volunteers in an organization if they already have some significant membership or participation. Listening could be done in a area of the city or so forth that the organization works in. It could be done through the people door to door or in the churches they attend or the civic groups. It could be done there. So there's an organized listening campaign to find out, to have this, those questions I mentioned. What are you really worried about? What keeps you up at night? And is there a story you could tell about how it affects you or people you care about? So we organize those listening sessions. That's how you could say the minimum wage is everybody would be for, mm-hmm. you know, a lot of people it might be who'd earn low wages would might be for raising the minimum wage. But we heard that when the world was in recession in 2007 to 2012, more of our, when we did listening, people brought up wages, low wage, being unemployed for a long time because mm-hmm. of the recession, or our wages not going up for a long time. People also in our American, 3-4 million people lost their home, they owned homes, but because they didn't have jobs, they couldn't make the payments, they were losing their homes. So those kind of issues came up through listening to people. So the first step is this organized listening, and out of the listening you hear wider sets of problems that are people mention more often, some things than other things. But you're also here asking about the stories, so it's not just housing, it's someone talking about my rent was so high, or I wanted to buy a home and I used to be able to buy a home, but now the home prices are so high, or you know, there used to be a program where I could get health care for this kind of a problem and now there isn't. So you also try to hear remember this, not just the topic of, but you also, what are some of the stories we heard that make that so real to people? Then once you've heard those, say the issue was, let's say if it was housing, that the rents were too high and the home prices were too high and the living conditions were not good inside the apartments. So then you develop a strategy and tactics. So you, in the second phase, you develop your strategy and tactics. So you're looking at what are the existing laws that might need to be enforced. If they're not enforced, what new laws or policies do we need? Is there a new funding needed and how would we get that? And then you also look at who's responsible to make the decision. Is it the mayor? Is it the parliament? Is it this ministry of so-and-so? You need to be clear through research who makes the decision.
Yeah. I will interrupt you just a second because our live viewers are asking me to fill in Romanian as well.
Yes, yes.
So about these steps, so I'll switch really quickly to Romanian now. Deci un prim pas ar fi, despre care vorbește Lufin Ferrer, ar fi aceste campanii de ascultat în care oamenii sunt întrebați despre care sunt adevăratele lor probleme, ce nu îi lasă să doarmă noaptea, cu ce se confruntă în viața de zi cu zi. După care un al doilea pas este acela de cumva căutarea a strategiilor de verificare a legilor sau altor mecanisme care ar trebui să funcționeze și nu funcționează. Și acum o să revenim la pasul 3. So, step 3.
So, step 1 was the listening. Step 2 is the develop a strategy and tactic plan. And step 3 is to take action, which would be some of the tactics you thought about in mm-hmm. step 2. So, and that could be more than one action steps. It could be we're going to have a large meeting of people affected and we're going to invite the officials who have power over that to come and address the issue. Sometimes they will refuse. So we may need to organize people to go to their parliament meeting or city council meeting. Some city councils have public comment periods.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, but if you go as one person, it's what is it? But if a lot of people went and made public comments, or even if one person made a public comment and all the other people there stood behind them and you got publicity about it, would be another one. Someone told me about the 544 law that they have to respond in 30
mm-hmm.
days.
Yeah.
And then someone else was sort of like cynical, like, well, they just They don't care. They just have, write it. But maybe you do collect a lot of 544 petitions, and you turn them in all at one time. And on the 29th day, you come back again as a group. They haven't answered our 544 petitions, and it's due tomorrow. And you try to get publicity from the newspapers and the Facebook and so forth about it. But it could be other tactics. And each time you do some action, you evaluate, how did this go? Was it effective? What else can we do? What's our next step? And sometimes you can't reach the person who makes the decision, the powerful person, the mayor or the member of parliament, but you might be able to figure out someone we can reach who has access to that person in power. And maybe we can meet with him or her and see if they will agree to do something or to reach the person with power. So you just try to find different ways to keep acting and keep the pressure on. And the fourth step is evaluation. You're always evaluating what's working, what's not, and what's our next step. And that's really, that's the organizing process. And you can adapt it to smaller issues or larger issues.
Yeah, I'll switch again to Romanian just to wrap this idea. Deci pasul după această centralizare a problemelor și apoi pasul al doilea fiind căutarea de soluții și strategii, un al treilea pas despre care vorbește Rufinfer este cel al punerii acestor strategii în acțiune pe diverse canale, în diverse feluri. Aș fi dat exemplu legii 544 de acces la informații publice de la noi din țară ca fiind o posibilă cale de acțiune, la fel cum ar fi pentru o problemă municipală participarea la ședințele de consiliu local și așa mai departe. De asemenea, vorbea ca o altă soluție alternativă, de exemplu căutarea unui aliat mai puternic, unei persoane care te poate ajuta ca problema ta să ajungă acolo unde trebuie. Și pasul 4 fiind cel al evaluării, care se face continuu în așa fel încât să poți să știi ce acțiuni funcționează și care nu. So, I'm done with this, quick wrap-up. I wanted to ask you another thing related to Romania. Here, civil society has often fulfilled roles that the state didn't want to or could not prove capable to fulfill. Most notably in the areas of health and social services. So you have like civil organizations doing the sort of like the state's job. So how could this situation be transformed into one where the communities press the authorities to do their job rather than doing it for them? It's a fine line between them.
It can be okay if there's adequate resources for civil society or NGOs to run certain services, but what would be important is that the organizations and the broader public push the government to give an adequate budget to do it. So if the government isn't going to do it and they're, in a sense, farming it out or contracting it out or resourcing it out to some private entity, which still could be an NGO, then the question is like what is adequate to do that, and that should be raised by the NGO. It's okay, you gave me a budget of 1 million lei, but to really provide the services that you say we're supposed to do, we need 1.5 million lei. So that the NGO, rather than just feel, oh, they gave us money, so we should feel good and keep quiet, they need to say what's adequate. And then people who are concerned about this issue in some kind of organized way need to say that. So the government does try to, you know, like push things off, but oftentimes they're sometimes giving inadequate funding for it. So it comes back again to that question of accountability and how do you make them accountable? Because they have resources through their, you know, funding that they control, or changes in law and policy that would also help.
Yeah, because I'm thinking about two different like civic initiatives here in Romania.
Yes.
One of them is to build a hospital, because
yes,
in the last 30 years the state hasn't been able to build an entirely new hospital, and we have like a a general problem regarding access to healthcare and also like general hygiene or like
yes.
avoiding hospital infections. So we have an NGO that has raised like public support and also big corporations' financial support in order to build a very big hospital. And the other example that I was referring to is recently we had a Romanian entrepreneur whose name is Ștefan Mandachi, and because he was just so fed up with the lack of infrastructure and the fact that the Romanian region of Moldova, which is the poorest region in the EU, is not connected to the rest of the country or Europe by a major highway. And so he built the first 1 meter of highway on his property. And he sort of like inaugurated it in kind of like...
One meter.
Yeah, yeah. And saying, oh, look, I built this in 12 hours or something like
yes.
that. Why isn't the state doing anything? So it's...
Those are good things to dramatize
yeah.
the problem, but also like, and how could groups in Moldova and other parts who support that highway, how could they make a plan?
Yeah, rally to his.
That how could for the government to step up and build the mm-hmm. other pieces, or with the hospital, there might be enough money to build the hospital, but is there money to run the services and programs that you would want the hospital to do? So it comes down to that kind of follow up and accountability all the time, and having these each year trying to develop an agenda. After you listen, then this is our agenda for action, and this is what actions we're going to take to try to move that agenda forward, and then how do we evaluate.
Yeah.
And then also in your society, you have to obviously interact with the political system. It's not, NGOs don't endorse candidates or work for parties, but there certainly is important to hold up in the elections what's the record of the party. If that party has power, have they fulfilled their promises? What are they planning to do next? And what are the other parties running against them? What are they willing to say they're going to do, and to at least educate people about what they're saying and also what they've done if they did have power? You don't have to endorse a party or candidate, but you can through education explain to people how they're doing in fulfilling their promises and who's else is making some commitments. That's important, obviously, because you have the European parliamentary election this year, the presidential election, and then the important parliamentary and local elections next year. So this is a very, very, very important period for what kind of democracy and hope you're going to have in your country. So people, it's always a need to be persistent and organized, but this seems like coming up the next year and a half, maybe could be one of the most important periods in the generation in Romania since the end of communism. I don't know enough about it, so you could tell me if that sounds silly, but it sounds like you have some big decisions that are going to be made
yeah.
that could make your country more hopeful, more democratic, or stuck.
It is true. Do you see it, find it a risk if it were working the other way around? For example, like a political party piggybacking on such a campaign for there. Have you come across this kind of situation?
There's always, we use the word opportunism, where people try to ride trends and so forth. But so you have to be aware of it. But sometimes if the political party takes a position because they think it's popular, that could be okay as long as they fulfill the commitment. That's why you have to have the follow-up, because otherwise they just are using people temporarily. Oh, we're for that, we're going to do that. If they don't do it once, if they're elected, then it's your obligation to try to follow through and hold up the light. Remember when they said this? They haven't done it. So what are we going to do to get it done? But yes, you have to be wary of people trying to take advantage of you or to try to claim that they care about an issue that they, in some cases, knew about but didn't do anything about because they didn't think they had to, or they didn't know people felt so deeply about it.
Yeah. To complete my example with the hospital,
yes,
the political party that's now in power, the PSD, has promised during the campaign to build not one but three big regional hospitals, yes. and they not only haven't they built any, but they're kind of like hindering the other people right. who are doing it.
I think that, you know, where appropriate, groups may want to talk about that. Certainly the other political parties have the right to say, this party promised this and they haven't done that. How do you want to think about that? Or sometimes even, you know, NGOs or churches might say, we're not endorsing someone, but people need to know the history of what happened or didn't happen here.
Yeah. We're quickly approaching the end of our interview. And I wanted to ask you about like pressure points. What do you use? How do you pressure the authorities or the people in power or the people who have influence to listen to?
Well, usually the more you can be in action and the more people are in action, then there's more pressure on them because the either the political powerful people or the corporate powerful people are saying there's this many people doing something and they're talking to this many people or this many in their families, so there's a fair number of people who know about this problem. Do I need to think about doing with it? So it usually comes down to how many actions you can do, and they can be varied. They can be petitions, they can be demonstrations, they can be coming to hearings, but how many actions you can do. Can you at certain points get larger numbers involved in it? Because that also triggers there's going to be more media coverage if more people are acting persistently, but also acting in larger numbers. And if there's more media coverage, more people hear about it and talk about it, and the politicians are going to worry about it more, that, oh, these people really care about these things. So those can be the pressure points. How do you get coverage from an organization or a program like yours and other media? People need social media strategies and campaigns to inform people that way. You always have to kind of like be clear who's making the decision, who has the power to make the decision, and how can I put a spotlight on that person or that institution? Like I said, in some case, let's say you were trying to reach the mayor of, reach the mayor of Bucharest, and let's say he wasn't paying attention to what people brought up.
She.
Okay. I'm glad there's some women.
We're not. But not
yes.
because she's a woman. But
right, right. You can have women in power who are better, and women in power who are not. I know that's
exactly.
true. I know that can be true here. But
okay,
there may be a city councilor mm-hmm. that you can reach and have impact on, and your demand of the city council was, will you talk to mayor, who is the mayor of Bucharest?
Her name is Gabriela Fiera.
Will you talk to Mayor Fiera about this problem? We tried to reach her, she wouldn't talk to us. Will you talk to her? So you might, and that person might say no, but if you've been able to reach him and can be persistent in bothering them, they might say, Mayor Fiera, mm-hmm. I'm getting bothered by all these people about this problem. It's not such a big problem. Will you do something about it? So those can be the pressure points.
It's interesting that you picked her as an example, not knowing her, because, well, you previously you were mentioning that the media, using the media for like pressure or making your cause heard, and she used to be a TV anchor in a very like politically dominated TV station.
Yes.
So it looks like it was the other way around for her, and also with the city council, although she's it's mandatory to have them open for the public. She keeps them closed and says that all the seats are taken.
Mm.
So whenever people apply to participate in the meeting, everybody gets the same answer. All the seats are taken.
Right. Well, maybe people not to think about create. Maybe they need to bring chairs and set them up outside of City Hall and say,
good point.
We're here. There's chairs. Will you listen to it? Sometimes you need to think. How can we creatively bring attention to a problem when someone is trying to be that undemocratic in the way they're responding.
Yeah. Well, it's almost time to wrap up. So especially after our conversation,
yes.
and your knowledge so far, it's the third time you're coming to Romania in such a program. Do you feel like we're making progress? Like communities are starting to be more organized? How do you
Yes,
see it?
I've heard more and more stories of communities being organized by not just the CERA group, though that's a main mm-hmm. group, but the ACR group, is working with communities about being organized, and they're also helping them with strategies where they can raise money for their own budgets and staff so they can be more effective. So I think the infrastructure for positive social change for justice and fairness is being built here. And so in that ways, I'm hopeful for the future, but I know it's hard because of the people don't give up any power voluntarily, so that people need to be persistent to get officials to be more responsible, or at some points the new officials will take their place and try to act more responsibly. So it's there's, how would you say it, the glass is always half empty and half full in life and in politics and in communities, and you have to know what's not full, but you also have to recognize what we've done and what things were worse before we tried to do things.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much, Lou. It's been really enlightening hearing you here.
Thank you for having me.
Mulțumim și celor care ne-ați urmărit. O să lăsăm și comentarii legate de Fundația pentru Relații Comunitare despre care vorbea Lufinfer și alte adrese la care puteți să găsiți mai multe informații despre organizarea comunitară. Mulțumim și ne vedem curând. Seară frumoasă! Thank you!
Thank you!